of the Taranaki Museum Oral History Programme, an interview with Mr. Jack Goodwin, who's currently visiting New Plymouth from his home in Hawke's Bay. Today is August the 1st, 1997, and we're recording on a Sony WN-D6C cassette recorder using Sony ECM-144 microphones. The interviewer is Mary Donald, and this is tape number 5. I didn't notice that we were actually just about to run out of tape, or that we did run out of tape. You were just starting off talking about Lake Mangamahoe.
Well, I've always admired the spire-like conifers and the water effects and reflections of some of the Canadian scenes. And I had the concept that Lake Mangamahoe should have similar margins. The timber production right alongside the lake is not the best, in that during the course of the operation of extracting the timber and then replanting, you look at siltation in the lake and so forth. The idea was that we put an ornamental or slower growing type for the first couple of chain around the lake, and that we'd create ornamental conifers and autumn colour around the lake margins for the future, and it would be a Taranaki autumn scene. And that's only partly. It's still, I think they've just taken off one of the last blocks of pines on the far side of the lake. I think they've taken most of them on this side. And that, I think, is the policy they're following, so that there's no siltation into the lake, or minimal siltation into the lake. And it is a wildlife reserve. It's quite popular for fishing, and we introduced the mallard, not the mallard, the black teal, called the black teal. Yes. This little round black duck with a yellow eye. I was lucky in getting some from the wildlife service.
And they stayed there. And there's one thing about picking up some ducks and putting them on a pond or on a lake, and they actually stayed there and they continued breeding there.
Well, it was one of those things. I think they gave me, I just can't remember now, there were 6 pairs of ducks. Might have been a few more ducks than drakes. I can't remember at the time now. But the wildlife people came along and they released them. And they just took off. They really made themselves at home. And, of course, to see them diving, it's quite a sight. And I did account, I think it was, would be about 6 years later, and we estimated there were 500 birds on the lake. But they had added some more breeding birds, and they saw that they were doing so well. Mm. And since then, the Canada geese have come in on their own. They've made their own home there. I debated about them, but I was a bit worried they might take over.
And of course you've got those lovely kauai trees which have heaps and heaps of tuis dangling upside down on them in spring along that grassy edge. It's just really picturesque, isn't it?
We thinned out after I came here in the rejuvenation of the rhododendron down, we had to thin them out. The rhodos have been planted far too close. And we sent some of them out there, and they're flowering today. The kauais were deliberately there to attract the native birds, and we climbed up for quite a lot. I don't think we lost too many, but probably lost a few. Particularly this very fine leaved one was a koi moth that sometimes get a hold of, reduce the courage.
It's a pest, isn't it?
But the view of the mountain, and again, there's a fairly wide range of plant material around there too, and they extend across to the crematorium, which as I was involved with the crematorium, and when the engineers were looking after the cemetery, I became involved with the crematorium, although the engineers had their responsibilities as far as the engineering works were concerned. I'd preferred it to be on a side road rather than on the main road because of traffic congestion, where you've got a convoy of vehicles pulling up in an open country speed area. It's not the best, but that was the site that was owned by the council and was considered sufficiently far away from other buildings to be suitable for a crematorium. And we made room for an expansion. But just looking the other night with George at the planting this side of the crematorium chapel, we put in all small conifers and various colours and groups, and they're just grown together nicely, and they're quite a colourful feature without casting any shade on the building. They're not at all growing, and actually we thought there might be room for expansion of the chapel that way if they needed it, but they seem to extend it a little bit more toward near the road than they were before. That collection there is again part of the assembly of unusual plants we brought together. And there's some quite an unusual species out there. But again, some things are attractive, there's one cherry that flowers at Labor Weekend. It's the last of the cherries to flower. They put a little avenue around the back of that particular cherry. It's quite a sight in time, although I noticed that the lichen has taken over a bit.
Were you responsible for any of the street plantings, you know, of trees along the streets? Did that come under your domain? There was a whole row of cherry blossom trees in Doralto Road.
Yes.
That was actually your work too, was it?
I was told that I couldn't grow deciduous trees in the street here. And of course, some of the councillors were very keen to have trees in the street. So, the cherries in Doralto Road, that's another one planned for Labor Weekend.
You see, I lived in Doralto Road. I moved from there only a few months ago, about 4 months ago, and I loved those cherry trees. They were just beautiful.
And if you get calm weather, those flowering will last quite well.
Yes.
And the autumn colour, there's always an autumn colour because that variety, not much, but the one that goes behind the rugby park,
Clawton Street.
That's got the same cherry in it. Mm. And then alongside Duncan and Davies Nursery,
yes,
that's got the same cherry. And the crematorium. Then you go down from, she crossed the Hurtoki to go up to Vogeltown.
Yes.
First little street on your left, Line Street, that's got a flowering apricot.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. You get up to the top past the school, and the first one on the right, going towards Carrick Street, that's got, now again got a flowering apricot that runs. Right around Hurst House, is it?
Right, Hurst House, yes. Yeah. Hurst House Street.
And then the up in that housing area further up, there's Five Fingers, and the first two are...
And that's up near Raleigh Street and Drake Street, and is it this?
Raleigh Street and the other side street got camellias in them.
Yes.
And at the top end of, what's the one that goes right round?
Is it Drake Street? It's not Drake Street, is it?
Yeah, it must be Drake Street. That's where they put the playground.
Yes.
Well, the first chairman as I had, we adopted the policy of having a playground at mile intervals. No more than a mile between playgrounds. And we fitted, I think, most of them in the parts of the town. There's one up there on Drake Street. And there might only have been a set of swings and a seesaw put in to start with, but there was a bat and ball area where they could, the children could play off the street. And we, that's what we started off with, and then we got added a roundabout and other things. But swings and seesaws were usually the... Which is, and now changed, they've got to have to be specially safe swings before they...
Yes, now you've got OSH.
The old ones are not to be. But that's just a section of the town. Now, Mr. Dean and the first park committee were very keen on, and Dr. Peter Allen was on that committee too, and they were very keen on the planting trees and streets. And I was quite keen to experiment because they said you can't grow these deciduous trees in streets. As long as it's not directly in that westerly wind, I think you can. The cross street, we've got every chance of success. The earliest plantings were in Gavitt Avenue.
Yes.
Was done by a beautifying association or the...
That's the big flowering gums.
Yes. They get a bit bashed around with the trucks and things now because they're so big. But a man called Newton Allen, who lived in Duralta Road, was a big carriers.
Right, yes.
And he was for many years involved with the Hurutoki Domain. And they were responsible for planting those before I came to Nipplemas. Quite big trees. Although they were still active, they were working on the bank where they, at the corner there of Broy Street, where the Panga Revetments and the cupboard was the little pink trailer.
Mm. So Hurutoki Reserve would have come under your domain?
Well, it was one of the separate domain committees that they handed over to me. And again, they had mostly older members. And they wanted to develop a camping ground. And we did develop a camping ground, and we had a fairly good following of winter sports people, and those are people who come for a netball tournament and those sorts of things who wanted a cheap accommodation. And we set up, but I think it's been closed down now. But it was quite a nice little camping ground with the surrounding bush and the birds. Some people preferred that to the... One of the reasons for the development was one of those ones that you get sometimes when you get expansion and they had a number of pipeline contractors wanted to set up separate accommodation with their staff while they were running the pipeline through to Auckland and into New Plymouth and wherever they had to go from.
So that would be the early 70s?
That's in the Maui development period, yes. Well, they came from Kapuni into here to start with, and then and Maui came in and linked them up. And then
so it was used during that time too? The Huatoki Reserve?
Yes, yes. There were quite a few regulars there to give them, encourage them to come to stay in New Plymouth, but we were disappointed that once they got a few miles out, they wanted to shift, and they wanted to shift up to, shifted to Waitara for one thing, I think, and I worked for the Waitara domain camping ground, because that time at war, Waitara wasn't under me till the final year or two of my tenure that Waitara came in under the district council. But Waitara and some of the other districts came to us for advice through the department for advice over the years. The council was always prepared to release me to advise the county or the other smaller towns if they had a request. But the request had to go through the council, and then the directions come down to me, which again is the best way to do those sorts of things.
What about sports grounds and things like that, Mr. Goodwin? Were you involved in any of those?